It has been seen on other levels and has been prophesied by many beings. It is a necessary path of evolution for this earth. You are here, therefore, as witnesses to that path of evolution. Within your innermost being is the knowledge of what is to come. It may not be with you on a conscious level, on a level which you can pull down into everyday physical reality, but within your heart is the knowledge of what is to come and the part that you must play in it. The Master Ramala, channeled by the Ramala Center, Glastonbury. Chapter 6, Time for Choice. The Day of Judgment is traditionally a time at the end of a particular phase of planetary evolution when an assessment of each and every soul's attainment is made to determine those who are able to join the move up to a higher plane, and those who must start again elsewhere at the beginning of that phase in order to re-attempt the lessons they have failed to master. There are practical reasons for this assessment. Those whose vibration rates are below a certain level, reflecting a lack of evolutionary progress, will not be able to make the transition to the higher vibrational dimensions. They would find the intense vibrational light energy of the higher spheres too painful. They would also no longer have the opportunity to express the many lower instincts and emotions which they have not as yet fully mastered, nor would they feel at all at home in such an elevated world of refined sensibilities. All the masters and guides communicating at this time therefore stress the present urgency for us to resolve all our past hates and hurts as soon as possible. This we must do whilst we still have the opportunity left within the remaining testing environment of the dense earth physical plane. This dense physical plane will soon no longer be a part of planet Earth, and it is only at this very basic level that we can make rapid progress in resolving and transmuting past karma. By contrast, when we reside on the higher spiritual planes, we live in such a relatively perfect and peaceful environment that many of the more backward characteristics within our soul do not surface or show up, making it much more difficult to reform or resolve them. If, on the other hand, we do manage to tackle and master those tests we set ourselves down on Earth within the short time frame left before the Earth changes, we shall have thus made one of the greatest advances in our millions of years of evolutionary development. For those whose destiny unfortunately hangs in the balance, between ascension and starting over again on the bottom rung of the ladder of evolution, an 11th-hour special effort to reform our inherent faults may yet turn the scales. This time of tribulation is the traditional dividing of the ways, the sorting of the wheat from the chaff. Especially on this planet, endowed as we are with a full expression of free will, every individual has the opportunity to make those significant choices moment by moment. Indeed, in this present period of final resolution, the many opportunities will be multiplied and magnified by the increased light force energies now being beamed down to Earth by the spiritual hierarchy. The Master Hilarion, an ascended master from planet Earth and a member of Earth's planetary hierarchy, made this comment some time past on the tribulation and the opportunities for mankind. The tribulation that has been planned for many thousands of years is descending upon the earth. It will be recognized early by some who have remained aware of the higher truths, but most will fail to see that the last days are upon them until near the end of the time of trial. We have previously spoken of the arrangement for humanity by which rebirth and karma were to allow individual souls to learn the main spiritual lessons and to settle the debts incurred when that learning process led to the harming of others. It was thought at first that this great plan would permit virtually all of mankind to achieve the basic goal, which was to escape by its own efforts from the wheel of rebirth and the karmic necessity. But this hope was not realized. The temptation of man's own base nature and the whisperings of the forces dedicated to his destruction proved, again and again, too strong for many souls whose resolve and whose spiritual sight were not sufficiently developed. For this reason, a new plan was devised in order to allow for all those whose steps had faltered, a final chance to gain the goal that had been set for man. This plan was laid some 12,000 years before the present, at about the time that the great continent of Atlantis sank to its final destruction beneath the waves of the Atlantic Ocean. All of the details of the new plan were carefully worked out at its inception and have not been changed in any important degree since that time. One of the most important components of the tribulation was the necessity that all those who appeared unlikely to have reached the required level by the end of the rebirth arrangement were to be given the chance to make the right choice during the period in question. At the inception of the plan for the tribulation, it was not known and could not be foreseen exactly how many souls this necessity would apply to. But as the millennia passed and the time draws near, it became clear that a number in excess of 4 billion souls would require this last desperate chance to succeed where before they had failed. Prior to the passage of the Earth through the cloud, photon band, in space, a sign will appear in the sky, to indicate to those who have realized the truth, that the last days have come. This is the sign of the Son of Man spoken of in the scriptures. Those who fail to understand and heed the meaning of the signs in the heavens will not be able to escape the final, dreadful weeks and months of the tribulation by a subsequent change of heart. All of those who earnestly and with the whole heart change their old sinful ways and take up the cross of service and dedication to their fellow man will become entitled to what the scriptures call the rapture. The rapture is essentially an escape from the horrors of the tribulation, to a place of safety where those who have assembled there can work and learn in order to prepare themselves for the great task of reconstruction which will begin literally minutes after the day of wrath has terminated. The Master Hilarion, channeled by Maurice B. Cook in The Nature of Reality. First published 1979. Marcus Books, Bradford, Ontario, Canada. This theme was also commented upon in the recent past by the Master Rephi of Mars. Now for this day are they being prepared, when each and every one shall be put into another place, that which is prepared for them. Some shall be freed from all darkness, these shall be free to go and come throughout the galaxy, and they shall know no barrier. Others shall be put into a place wherein they shall till the soil with their bare hands, they shall have no implements, they shall have no tools, no machines. They shall have no memory of their past, of their science or of their fortune of the past. Such shall be the destiny of them which betray themselves. The Master Rephi of Mars, channeled by Sister Vedra in Prophecies for Tiahunaco. The Association of Sunanda and Sanat Kumara, Sedona, Arizona, USA. Those who fail to reach a point of being able to ascend to a higher plane at this end cycle of resolution and self-judgment, will themselves recognize the need to start over again on another third-dimensional planet in some other solar system which will still have facilities for such living. Particularly heartless and destructive souls may even find that their soul, spirit requires a return to a yet lower level, to start again in a second-dimensional world within the mineral kingdom. This is not a punishment, it is simply an objective reflection by your higher spirit, soul of the fact that your lower personality self would not be able to function at the new higher vibration rates. These souls would find that they need once again to start over again and learn to become less ego-centered, to rise above the narrow view of self-interest and the unbalance of taking from others of that which has not been earned or is rightfully theirs. They have to learn to keep a karmic balance by giving the same in return as they have received from others. Through keeping a proper balance between giving and receiving, they will come to learn all the joys of living in a peaceful and cooperative world, the great benefits derived from the respecting and caring for others, of learning to express unconditional love to all other life forms. The Christ, whatever form the healing of the human world takes during these next few years, know that it is for the good of all. Do not be concerned with the fate of those who reject my spirit. Their story is far from over. I am caring for each one in the manner of his or her greatest need. The human world is in good hands. When you and much of Earth's present biological life have been sprinkled throughout the stars, and the oceans have changed places with the land, after the poles have shifted and new mountains have come to look over the plains, then will the truly slow learners be recalled from the mineral realms where they shall slumber, to learn of intelligence again, and to come again to choose between love and fear. The Christ, channeled by Ken Carey in Vision, Harper, San Francisco. The end-age time of ascension is a parting of the ways. Those who choose to do so should make a personal assessment of their conduct towards others. The temptations of pursuing a course of exclusive self-interest have been magnified over the ages by the forces of darkness who have constantly wished to delay or prevent our spiritual progress. The Master Zhen Tao, it is inevitable, at such a critical time in the Earth's evolution, that the forces of darkness should be present just as much as the forces of light. The forces of darkness would like nothing better at this time than to subvert the path of the Aquarian cycle, for this cycle is destined to be the greatest cycle in humanity's evolutionary path. For every side or opinion that is present, there will be another side or opinion to oppose it. This therefore requires that you exercise the great gift of discrimination. It is how you choose, and your motivation for choosing, that in essence represents the sorting of the wheat from the chaff. There will be many who will follow the path of evil. But remember that you can walk to the gates of hell and still turn back. You follow a path only for as long as you wish to. There will be much suffering in the world, but no more than humanity can bear and understand. Many, for instance, will not be touched by the plagues that are predicted to come. Clearly, one of the predicted plagues testing humanity at this time is the disease now known as AIDS. It is almost unique in that, with few and rare exceptions, it can either be contracted or avoided by one's own conscious action. The Master Zhen Tao, AIDS is the first of the seven plagues from which humanity will suffer. Now you must understand that the purpose of disease is not to punish, it is to bring about transformation. Disease is a great tool of evolution, and all disease should be seen in this way. AIDS, of course, is a disease which is usually transmitted sexually. The greatest disease of the human race today is its abuse of sexuality. With AIDS, therefore, you have a disease which demands sexual responsibility. AIDS can be likened to a genetic time bomb, because ultimately only the pure in body, mind and spirit will survive it. The sexual act should not be regarded as an act of self-centered pleasure, but rather as an act of cosmic creation. If you live a life of sexual purity, you will not be touched by AIDS. If you are pure in body, mind and spirit, you will not be touched by much of what is to walk the face of this earth. This is indeed the beginning of the sorting of the wheat from the chaff. It would be true to say that in the new age it will only be the pure of spirit, the pure of mind and the pure of body that will inherit the earth. The Master Zhen Tao, channeled by the Ramala Center, Glastonbury. It often seems at this present time that discipline and personal conduct is frowned upon. Yet it is perhaps now, as never before, that we should once again be guided by, and make every attempt to follow, the traditional old-fashioned ideals of right conduct, not only in treating our own bodies correctly, but of respecting the rights of others and the environment. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be so overcharged with surfeiting, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day comes upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:34-36. While surfeiting and drunkenness are clearly to be avoided by those genuinely seeking to follow higher principles of conduct, there are more subtle ways in which we should seek self-improvement. In our civilized world during recent times, the aggression used by those who are self-seekers has become subtler, but it remains aggression nonetheless. The Christ, survival into the third millennium is reserved for the spiritually fit. The key to survival is not competition, but cooperation. Spiritual fitness is not aggression, it is fitting in with the purposes of the earth and with the purposes of her creator as these larger purposes blend in human exchange. The Christ, channeled by Ken Carey and Vision, Harper, San Francisco, at this important time of self-examination, the ascended Master Street Germain, a member of Earth's spiritual hierarchy, recommends the practice of meditation, or communing within yourself, through which one can develop a mental calm and an openness to communication from one's higher self. I would like to suggest that meditation is very important for you at this time. Meditation is how you will gain mastery, the self-mastery and the focus that is required to go into your next phase. Meditation is how you will create the space between your limited ego self and your deeper expression. You will put a little bit of distance between you and the ego so that your reactions will not be so automatic with regard to responding to negativity. All of you are experiencing much of the density of the earth in your daily life. But, if you can meditate, you will not feel the effect of it in the same way. You will have more of an overview, so that when those emanations or impressions come to you, you can choose consciously and wisely in each moment how to respond. Meditation, however, is not necessarily something that requires a lot of intense training, or sitting for hours in the lotus position. The masters have stressed that there are over 1,000 different paths to meditation, and that one can just as easily meditate by simply walking and thinking within the quiet surroundings of nature. Essentially, one is looking inward in order to contact the inner voice or higher self, wherein, it is said, all the wisdom of the universe is available. The Master Saint Germain also stresses the importance of forgiveness. The significance of forgiveness is that in forgiving an insult or an act of aggression, the momentum of the act is thereby nullified. When we fail to forgive, we perpetuate the act through a continuing stream of vengeance, so its evil effects are passed on, propagated and nurtured. Through forgiveness, the totality of evil in the world can be progressively diminished. By forgiveness, you can avoid the creation of any more negativity. You can let the buck stop where it is, instead of passing it on as so many have done for so long in this world. When someone expresses anger towards you, the tendency of the ego is to respond in the same way. And even if your ego is not at that moment responding in the same way to that particular person, perhaps it will await a perfect opportunity to respond that way to another, in an attempt to clear itself of these impressions. This is why the negativity on the earth has become so dense. Humanity has continued to pass it around, to propagate it, so to speak. And the goal of mastery is, of course, to master this. Master your own creations and emanations so that what comes through you is love, so that what comes through you is that divine presence that you are, and that clarity which gives you wisdom to deal with situations, to diffuse the reactionary elements of human life. The Master Saint Germain, channeled by Eric Klein in The Inner Door, Volume 2, Otten House Publications, an underlying theme pervading all the warnings of the coming Day of Judgment and the accompanying messages of counsel, emphasizes the need to seek a return to a balance and harmony in our lives, particularly in our relationships with other humans, with animals, plants and the natural environment as a whole. We must also develop an attunement and sense of balance and harmony in the relationships between our two selves, our earthly self and our higher self. We have to live in a manner which causes no conflict with the ideal as seen by our higher spiritual self. This will help us to bypass the tribulations to come. The Master Ramayana, if you yourself are living in balance and harmony, you can survive any physical challenge. Though you work in a room full of diseased people, you will not be touched by any disease. Though you are shot at by many guns, you will not be hit. Though you are thrown into the sea when a ship sinks and many drown, you will be saved. For those who live in peace, that is, obeying God's natural order, there is total protection. Those who follow God's natural order will find their own lives in order. For those who trust in their Creator, there can be no fear. The Master Ta of the Pleiades, you see, dear one, if you are not in fear of what is to come, and know that you live in a perfectly safe universe, it is merely to live constantly in the moment of joy. To know that you will, of course, be safe, that you will survive. It is your reality. You create it. If you are living in an area, for instance, which may be subject to a very sudden earth change, and you are living in joy, and not in fear, then on that day, beloved, you will be away visiting your mother. You see, it is you who create the reality. The Master Ta of the Pleiades, channeled by Johnny King in The Ta Tapes, Transformation of the Species, Triad Publishers Proprietary Limited, Cairns, Queensland, Australia, Chapter 7, The Flying Saucer Connection. Many unfamiliar with the predictions of Earth changes may nonetheless be aware of the much-reported UFO/flying saucer activity around Earth. Even though governments continue to cover up and deny the existence of UFOs, opinion surveys report that in the USA over half the population believe they exist, and over 10,000 UFO sightings are reported annually around other parts of the world. In addition, in recent decades, over 10,000 crop circles of amazingly intricate designs have mysteriously appeared overnight in fields of cereal crops and been recorded on film. All of this UFO activity has three main purposes. One is an ongoing program by our space brothers of monitoring and taking action where necessary to preserve peace and stability within our solar system. The second is related to the nuclear threat of the post-World War II period. The third, and most important of their ongoing programs, relates to preparations for the ascension of humanity and the coming Earth changes of the new age. Most of these interplanetary visitors are members of a galactic federation of light composed of the various solar systems within our galaxy that all follow the path of light. These followers of the light have been in constant opposition over millions of years with the Anchira Alliance, followers of the path of darkness, a dark group of non-loving, negative and destructive beings dedicated to dominating and controlling others. As a result, there have been many major galactic wars between our galactic forces of light and the opposing forces of darkness. Now that we are approaching the present universal end of age cycle, this situation is changing and we are all being required to step up to a new era of galactic peace between worlds. Many of the existing forces of darkness, having realized that they are on the losing side of evolution, are now joining up with the forces of light. They now see this as their last chance of redemption before being forced to start evolution all over again at the most primitive of levels. Therefore, membership of the Galactic Federation of Light has recently increased from 100,000 members to over a total of 200,000 participating worlds. Beyond our own galaxy, there is a large organization of worlds who also follow the path of light, known as the Intergalactic Union of Free Worlds. The function of this organization is to coordinate and peacefully regulate affairs between the various galaxies, planets, and solar systems, and generally to uphold the universal law throughout the galaxies. The Galactic Federation is locally represented within our solar system by a local group called the Interplanetary Federation of Planets. This local solar system interplanetary council convenes on the planet Saturn with representatives drawn from all the other inhabited planets of our solar system. Up to now, planet Earth has not had its own native-born third-dimension earthly representative, and so until Earth has made its ascension to the fifth dimension and is able to join on a conscious level with the whole of our solar system federation, Commander Munker of the Ashtar Space Command has been appointed on our behalf to represent us at their council meetings. Within our solar system there is an enormous fleet of interplanetary spacecraft on station known as the Ashtar Command and whose task is to watch over Earth and to protect us during the Earth changes and our ascension. They are answerable directly to the Galactic Federation and to our own Earth spiritual hierarchy and are made up of a fleet personnel of participants from many other solar systems within our galaxy and universe. The Ashtar Command's foremost responsibility is protecting us from any outside interference or intrusion by alien spacecraft belonging to the remaining forces of darkness within our galaxy. They will also have the task of assisting the inhabitants of Earth when the great planetary changes finally begin. This great interplanetary fleet is composed of over 100,000 mother ships stationed within our solar system and with over 150–200 million cosmic personnel keeping a watch over us. They themselves function on the fifth dimensional level and are therefore at present not visible to our physical third dimension sight. This force is led by its commander, Ashtar, a highly evolved soul who is well known throughout the universe as a staunch protector of freedom. He is described as having a strict and upright military bearing and is an important member of many universal, galactic and intergalactic councils. His own directly led personnel number about 20 million, and there are also over 4 million space beings working down on Earth's surface unobtrusively assisting us. The Ashtar Command has its headquarters on one of the large city motherships, the Shantia, New Jerusalem. This mothership is described as being over 100 miles/160 kilometers in diameter and 5 miles/8 kilometers high, with 12 major deck areas, with further mezzanines each of 40 feet / 12 meters height. One of the middle deck areas is high enough to have its own artificial sky and miniature sun, with green countryside, lakes and gardens below for relaxation and recreational use. The mothership is too large to approach us closely, as its great size could adversely affect the magnetic balance of Earth's orbit. This ship, like the hundreds of other large motherships, some of up to hundreds of miles in diameter, within the Ashtar fleet, therefore has many smaller shuttle or scout craft on board which are able to approach us more closely. These are regularly used to monitor our surface and atmospheric conditions, correct geological imbalances such as potential earthquakes, or else be used to evacuate us during the major physical earth changes. They are able to make themselves fully visible to our physical eyesight when needed through temporarily lowering their own vibration rates down to our third dimensional level. Up to now, they have not been permitted to reveal themselves, and are trying to avoid doing so until Earth's governments announce their existence. Then they will joyfully make a first contact mass landing. Commander Ashtar gives this overview of the Ashtar Command and its work. There are millions of craft operating in this solar system at all times, and many, many of these belong to the Ashtar Command. Some are stationed far above your planet and are more or less stationary for long periods of time, keeping track of the Earth on their monitoring systems. Others move about, discharging their various duties. We have small scout craft doing surveying activities, and we have larger craft with extended range that are capable of operating in space and which visit planets in other solar systems. We also have what you know as motherships or mother craft, with many smaller craft coming and going from the mothership. There is thus a great deal of activity in what Earthlings think of as empty space. Our purpose is service, and we go where we are needed anywhere in this sector of the galaxy. Our headquarters is on one of the largest of the mother craft, and orders and instructions come from this craft. It is a city in itself. Most of our people are natives of one or another of the planets within this solar system, but also we do have those working with us from other solar systems. Our workers do visit their home planets at various times on what you might call vacations. Most of us have worked together for a very long time. We are a well-knit confederation and feel that we are an effective one. Commander Ashtar, channeled by Gladys Roadhaver and quoted in Ashtar, Attribute. Compiled by Tua, Guardian Action Publications. The full text of Ashtar, Attribute can be read from the link at the end of Book 2. We also have to be aware, however, that not all spaceships making contact with Earth come as representatives of the Galactic Federation of Light. Commander Corton of the Ashtar Command explains, there are those who do come, who are not from this allegiance and who have no part in it. They come as observers and for their own ends. They are often highly scientific geniuses, and their material to their contacts can be highly impressive, indeed, almost always is. But they have come for the purpose of collecting data for their personal ends and not to give of themselves for the good of the planet. These are not necessarily what you would call the dark forces, which is yet of another deeper allegiance. Now the so-called dark forces, hitherto allowed as a balancing and learning agent in our galaxy, local universe, are those who are still openly opposed to the Brotherhood of Light, its principles and standards and goals for mankind and the planet Earth. They would seize the planet if that were possible, to control it for their own purposes, which would destroy the freedom of man. Commander Ashtar has been one of the most staunch defenders of the freedom of man and his inherent right to choose, to decide to fashion his own embodiment, without outside pressures put upon him. The bands of renegades that patrol the terrestrial realms are immediately dispatched to their proper level when overtaken in trespassing activities within this solar system. The fleets of the heavenly commands are prompt to transport such intruders in masterly fashion. As a further and important example of its work, the Galactic Federation has since the end of World War II been greatly concerned for the safety of planet Earth, more so from our own internally created threat than an outside one. The development of Earth's experimentation and use of nuclear energy after World War II caused grave concern throughout the galaxy. This nuclear danger was a major reason why our planet began to experience so many UFO visitations during the early 1950s. The inhabitants of other solar systems were greatly concerned at this new and dangerous development by planet Earth and came into our orbit to monitor results of our newly acquired destructive capability.